Carlos opened the window early morning so that we can have a perfect view of nature. We just need a waterfall or something, then it looks like the Scottish Highlands. So we'll have to make a plan. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start the rest. Can just quickly fall in with what we are busy talking about. Guys, yeah, thank you again just for being here today, especially the mothers. Thanks for bearing with us. They're probably not here now, but it's really a blessing to have your commitment in coming. I just want to quickly say this is a start for us. We are figuring it out with you as we go along. One thing that we do know is that God is talking about ownership and taking ownership of this vision, and it's not the three pastors and their wives' responsibility. It's all of us, okay? And that's what really is amazing for me, is seeing your commitment and seeing the way that you guys are really stepping up to it. And some of you even mentioned today, okay, I feel so deep-ended, you know, there's a ministry being dumped on me now, and I must now, you know, just try to figure out what I must do in the future. Well, welcome to pastoring. I can tell you, I haven't done the practical side of pastoring for 10 years because I was at HQ, which meant that I never had to do an encounter course or to do any practical stuff. I just could go from church to church and preach and enjoy the food. So if I look a little bit pale today, it's because I'm trying to get into this rhythm, okay, of being a pastor again. There's a lot of things that we don't think about, guys. You come to the events, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into these things. And I think, you know, being a pastor is one of those things that that stretches you beyond your own limits, even to a place where you really need to live in the grace of God. And many nights to prepare for sermons on a Sunday and to get ready. So the reason why I'm telling you that is we want a partnership that that is going to stretch you a little bit, as you heard this morning. But in order for us to grow, each one must take responsibility. Okay, and that's why we are asking you. And I want to stretch your mind even to the place where I want to tell you this morning, just remember the pastor has done it until now, everything himself. So you taking responsibility of a bit is all right, okay? Don't stress out. We've all also just managed until now, and we are trusting God to take it to the next level where we can specialize more in becoming greater Encounter One facilitators, greater Bible school facilitators, greater children's church people. And I know all of your hearts are there, but we will have to grow into this together. And I want to say, don't think that we're going to expect you to go beyond what you can do at this stage. We're going to stretch you for sure, that's shofar. But what I can tell you, it's a partnership, which means that we together with you will have to go and sit and figure this thing out as we go along. One thing that I do know, and I just want to, on a practical level, say to you, please don't ask me difficult questions today because I don't have the answers. Okay. We just realized if we must get to every one of you separately, it's going to take us a year to get the ministries established, okay? So we are sharing basic principles with you in which we want you to embrace these and start to think how we can use these principles in the different ministries to become better, okay? We don't have the answers yet ourselves. That's why we will get together with you. And so just on a practical side, I want to say the process works like this. I've said to the pastors, tell me what is the things that's on your heart. They took ownership of pastoral oversight, and some of it I forced them. They must do pastoral oversight over certain ministries, which means that each one of us will be involved in certain of the ministries, helping you and assisting you to be your best. Okay. I just want to remind you that the pastors and full-time ministry people are supposed to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay, so that means that within our capacity, we do whatever we can, but we manage that to the extent where we trust God to do even the supernatural over and above. Okay, so that's a journey, that's a walk that we will be walking with you, and so that's why I love that we actually started with the most important part, and that is the heart issue. Because if we settle the heart first, we can get to the practical things as we go along. So if I share this morning practical things, please bear with me as well, and with us, because we will be figuring it out afterwards. And you're going to ask me questions this afternoon that I'm literally going to say to you, we'll figure that out on another day, okay? Just because we'll have to go and pray about it, we're going to do whatever God wants. And I just want to say, that's why I've overemphasized again and again and again the series that we've done of getting more practical and more servant-hearted and more focused on doing ministry through Ross's small group series. I just want to say the balance is for me very important. And I want to say it today, we are not going to do stuff because we must do stuff. Okay, so your ministry, if the women's ministry, I said to the girls that's involved with that, I said, listen, if we do nothing now for the next year or so, it's fine, relax. But let's just be honest, if that is what where God is now with that ministry, then be honest about it. But let's at least take ownership concerning praying and trusting God to lead us into this next season. Okay. So please, the next phase will be to go and pray, to go and trust God to show us what we should do and how it's going to add to the rest of the bigger picture. The pastoral oversight pastors will come to you. Now, I just want to say we do it regionally, which means that pastoral oversight will be over a regional group of people, which for now, like the worship ministry, which is, I think, the furthest at this stage, you know, in our walk with them, we said take regional ownership. So you'll see on Sundays we try to have both congregations go through DVDs or what do you call it, DJing of music, so that we say to one another, listen, if you struggle on that side, we want to struggle on this side as well, because we're going to pull this one through together. Okay, and so we will still have the conversations about children's church and, you know, so many other media, so many other ministries. And we will have to have that conversation regionally. Okay, we want to grow together and we want to trust God to take these ministries from strength to strength, because we pull resources together. Okay, so you are maybe you know, the leader of your local church taking responsibility, but you'll work together with somebody in the London congregation or somebody in the Guildford congregation. And it might be that the person in the Guildford congregation is the regional, you know, champion. So just if we talk about a regional leader or champion, they use at support center, they use the term champions. We like to rather use the leadership title because we believe that it's ownership. You know, you taking lead of the ministry that God has entrusted unto you. So, which means that we've got local leaders, and then we've got one of the local leaders will probably be the regional oversight in that ministry. Okay, so we'll explain that as we go along the next few months, and I think just bear with us as we get together with you and brainstorm around how we're going to make it operationally work. But that's the idea, and that's again, us as pastors will then get together and you know, make sure that we pray for you guys, that we pull the necessary resources, that we help one another to actually get to the goals that God has set for us as congregations. Okay, we're not talking about Utrecht and Germany yet in a regional capacity, just because we're not there yet. Okay, and as we grow, we'll make sure to work better together with them. I know the worship people, for instance. I know Sofiso has a heart to work together with Yolandi and Marco on that side. So we'll get there. But that's the next step. Okay, just so that you know. And we'll take it one step at a time. Okay, so we'll answer some questions on your ministry specifically from 4 to 5 today. Okay, just for the sake of time and time constraint. So if you have any ministry specific questions that we can answer, please stay behind so that we can have those conversations before we leave today. We'll have this two opportunities in a year, which means that we want to actually use the time to brainstorm together and become or get more practical in workshop format to talk about the calendar for the next 6 months and what that will mean for you as a ministry and how we can partner together to make it priority. So Carlos, if you can maybe just look at the next 6 months and at the end of the session, just mention to us what is the things that we will be focusing on as a ministry. So one of the complaints that I know you guys had with us as a administration team or pastoral team was that we don't communicate our calendars well in advance. Okay, so we've really went the second mile to this time get it right. So you will see you have a link to go onto CCB and you will be able to see all you know, the events that we've scheduled for the year already. That gives you time to actually plan ahead. For those of you with Google or Outlook calendars, just make sure to just import it into your calendar so that you can see it on your own calendar, so that you don't need to every time go into CCB to see the calendar. Okay, it's very easy. So please, even at the end, make sure to come and ask those questions. It works well for me on Gmail. I don't know the other formats, but it works very well. Me and my wife can always see the calendar as it changes as well and whatever. Okay, so that's a nice platform. We'll get to that just now, the CCB component of it. I want to just have a conversation with you guys, first of all, in this session about are we, or maybe I should first say this. Are we a event-driven church? No. I'm going to ask why, so please don't say no too quickly. Are we an event-driven church? Pastors may not answer. Do you want to answer, Ian?
No, we're not.
Why not?
No, we're not an events church. Otherwise, we're always looking for the next event.
So why does the church keep us so busy? Somebody else would want to add to that, to the are we events driven church?
I don't want to say yes or no because I don't want to get it wrong. But I think that the events, it's when we do Encounter 1, it's an event that leads to Encounter 2, and it's all about developing someone, and you can develop someone through events.
Okay. Somebody else that wants to add?
I think the answer is no. Like, we're not events driven. Events are important, but if the heart behind what we're doing isn't right, it's not necessarily, events aren't necessarily going to change people's lives or save people if it's not in line with what God wants us to do.
Okay. Anyone else that wants to answer? Okay. I quickly want to add to what you guys have said. And I want to say that no, we want to believe that we're not an events-driven church. You guys are right. But there's a fine line in which we can get it wrong in doing good works, but not God works. Okay. Now, my challenge to you this morning is that I've seen a lot of, and us doing it, it's not just other churches, doing a lot of good events, but not God events. Which means that it was nice to have them, we were all tired and we all wished not to come because we wanted to have an open calendar. And God did not, you know, meet with us, and we had a fun time, but it didn't add to what God wants to do. Now, I'm not saying that social is not a good idea. Okay, so please get me right here. I think socials are, let's just leave all this church stuff and just do socials, if that is where God is at. Okay? I think that a lot of the spiritual stuff that we're doing must actually just be scraped from our calendars, and let's do more socials so that we can get to know one another. Last week sat with a small group and I said, just tell us your story. It was amazing just to see the faces of the people in the small group telling their stories from birth to where they are today. We could not, it was an icebreaker. And by 9 o'clock, I said, okay, let's call it a day. We did not have any more cell, but I think we don't know one another well enough. And I think that, you know, we should actually live life more together. You know, we should actually make opportunities to have more formal events and more informal events so that we can get to know one another better and become part of one another's lives. So I want to say to you, please do not go, you know, after this day, go back home and think that we are expecting you to have 5 events for the rest of the year. That is not a God work. That's a good work, and it's amazing, and we will think you are amazing because you are so busy, and you are, you know, I hate it when we tell one another how much we do. And so far, we always have the tendency in doing that. I want to say that's not a good culture. We must stop that. To always tell one another that, you know, I've been so busy, you know, it's strange that you can't have a conversation with anyone in this church, and I'm talking about this church being so far. Not London Church exclusively, without having a conversation of how busy we are. Okay, and that's a bad culture. And I want to just say it this morning upfrontly so that we know that we as leaders must lead the way in helping people to understand why we have certain events and why it's important to us. Okay? I love what David said this morning. And I want to say to you guys, I cannot count, be accounted to for any other ministry in this city. Okay, I cannot talk on behalf of Hillsongs or CRC or, you know, all the Anglican Church, all the amazing churches, HDB. I can't talk on their behalf because I did not receive their mandate. Okay, I think they are amazing. So please do not, if us as leaders talk here in front and say that, you know, you must do exclusively that which God has called us to in a vision. It's not to disqualify any other ministries. Just understand us correctly. We're just saying that we must be focused on what God has given us to do. If you're part of this family, for my little family, I want to say for Anna-Mart and Lana and Zoe, you know, they've been involved yesterday the whole day, you know, being here at the office, helping us to vacuum and to... Is that fun stuff to do on a Friday afternoon? No, we've got certain values that they understand, we are passionate about, and so they do whatever the family is focused on. Which means that Anna-Mart always wants to have more fun, so she wants to get onto the bus and, you know, do fun, and she always complains about... But when the family does certain things, we do it because there's a corporate vision in or a collective vision within our little family. And I want to say to you, we don't want to disregard what's happening in your little family, okay? Your immediate family. That's wrong. If that is the case, then we must have the conversation.
Yes.
You are part of a bigger body. God has certainly entrusted this church with a beautiful vision, and we're going to get to the ends of the earth. We're going to, from this place, you know, raise up many leaders to go and plant churches all over the world. But guess what? We each just have a part to play so that God can fulfill His bigger plan. And you can only do that. Okay? So please have that conversation with us as we go along, because it's beautiful. So if we expect you to be part of the vision It means that, you know, we're going to have that conversation with you. How do you fit into that, and how, what is your capacity doing so now? Now, Deuteronomy 20 speaks about going to war. Okay, and I love that conversation always, because it says some people must just stay at home. Okay, there's certain seasons in your life that you must stay at home. Okay, let's just be clear about it. Which means that you can't go to war if you just got married. You can't go to war if you have a child. Okay, if you're a mother. You can't. There's certain things that disqualifies you to go to war in certain seasons of your life. And I want to just say, guys, we've got respect for that, but please have that conversation with us. And we all, you know, walk this walk together as God leads us. And we do it in the kind of integrity we got. Yes, He's going to stretch us beyond our limits. God is stretching me a lot in areas that I've not used for a while. But it's amazing just to... you know, to see what God is doing in my heart as I'm doing these things. Okay, now I want to just say to you, you are going to be stretched. We always say in Shofar, we don't deep end people, we lie. We do. So I just want to say, the answer lies in the support to help you to swim. Okay, and I want to say, guys, you never get to be discipled and to become a leader if you're not open to be deep ended. Because deep ending means that you must grow. If you don't start to swim, you're going to drown. Okay? So we do push you a little bit in the deep water. But there will be a problem if we don't support you to stay afloat. Okay? If you really drown, then we have a problem. So please have a conversation with us. So to get back to our year calendar, I'm going to talk about it later on, just... you know, on the database, but I want to say to you guys, please don't populate the year planner for the sake of having an amazing ministry. Okay, that's not what we want. Okay, we're going to prayerfully go about in getting to where God wants. And for this season, guys, just be real. The core ministry is the most important part of this ministry at this stage, which means that Bible school, church, encounters, and small groups. Okay, so if we must choose to do any activities in this church, those ones are the most important, because we must stay fixed on the core vision that God has given us. Okay, and being such a small congregation at this stage, we need to embrace the primary functions first of all. Okay, so please keep to that, understand that. So if we decide on putting stuff on the calendar, I said to Jackie, it's amazing that you want to do a New Year's party. But the fact is, we are not going to get involved. You can organize the party, and we're going to have an awesome time together with you. But please do not, you know, put that weight on the church now and the church administration and planning. Take responsibility yourself, and she's keen to do it. So
well,
praise
absolutely.
God.
I'm not doing it anymore, and Mel and Jen are in charge.
Okay, wonderful. So she already delegated. But just so that you know, guys, for us, there is certain things that we prioritize, and we must choose to stick to those things. So you'll see a lot of our effort goes into the Bible school. A lot of our effort goes into the encounters now, and to get all of you through the encounters and to get people at the encounters. That will stay our main focus for the first season of this church. The ancillary ministries, which is the other ministries helping to add people and to be more specialized, like marriage counseling and parenting courses and all those things, will only come later as a priority. Okay, so please just keep that in mind.
Just to clarify, because I know it's in your mind. So intercession as well. So the three things we do every week, church services, intercession, small group, we do those weekly, they're core. The other two things that are also core that we don't do weekly are Bible school and encounter series. So that's how I think of them, the three that are weekly, and then the two that might be more monthly or weekly, depending on what the calendar is. But those are the five.
Okay, so to get back to the conversation of events. Now, guys, you will as an outflow to your ministry, do events, and those events we want to make sure will be focused, and will really carry the heart of God. So I'm just going to quickly talk through a few things that I want us to workshop before lunch even. Can I get to that PowerPoint? I've emailed it to you this morning early. Just have a look. While he's busy with it, I'm going to just say there's five stages of an event planning that is important to us. And as you go about in the next few weeks, months, starting to plan your ministry, we want you to actually embrace these values, embrace the steps that it bring about, and make sure that it's part of your thinking, for your events. Now, the first one is the Christ encounter. And for us, it's important to actually, when you start with an event planning, that you get to a phase of asking God, why? Why do I need to do this event? And what is the objective that I want to get to? As I said, we don't want dead works. We don't want good works. We want God works. So which means that if you don't have a mandate from God for this event, rather don't do it. Is that all right? So so in doing so, I want to say to you, the Christ encounter is a part where you go and sit down with your pastors, with the people that's part of your team, and you go and sit and ask God, what is the objective? Now, I remember years ago, I had this challenge to Rick Borman in South Africa. He planned a family event. And I said to him, so Rick, why are you having this family event? They were expecting about 300 adult people to come to Adamwillan at that stage, which had a nice grass and it was sunny, and the plan was to have a picnic. And so when I asked him this question, I remember Rick saying to me, I didn't really think about why I want this event. It's on the calendar, and it's been in the calendar for the last 5 years. So I'm just, at this stage doing it because we must do it. So it was a nice conversation, because I said to him then, but can we just get to, you've got such a busy schedule, why do you want to do an event like this, and what are you going to change in people's lives? Now, then he started to think about it. He came back to me, he said, okay, he knows what this event is about. It's to gather all the people that for the last 6 months came into the church, but still they are not into small groups. So the idea is to socialize with these people. And then in socializing, they will at least get to draw them into small groups and let them feel part of the church. Because in a big church, you always have lots of people coming, but they're not necessarily connecting and committing in the local church. So I said, okay, now we have a conversation. Can we talk about how you're going to use this event to actually get to your objectives? Because do you know that having such an event can again be a cliquey situation where people will come that is new in the church. They will again go and sit on their own, having their own picnic, and you will actually at the end of the meeting establish nothing. Are you with me? Have you been at events that you afterwards think it was a nice idea, but we were wasting our time? Now, this was a good conversation, because then we could speak about the fact that, listen, Rick, you must actually be intentional about how you're going to get to those people that need to connect and commit to the church, which means that your small group people, your small group leaders, cannot think that they are going to have a picnic. They must know that they are coming to serve with a purpose. They're going to come, and you will have to prepare and train them beforehand so that when you get to the picnic, they will not all sit together and have a fun time. They will go to the people that is new in the church. And so he said, yes, this is a good idea. So the next conversation that we could have is, let's then talk about how these people that are going to take ownership, how they will go about in sharing their food or whatever is necessary to draw these people in, and even, you know, have the conversation and know about other small group leaders in the church that they can connect them to, with at the event, so that they can start to go to small group in the church, which was a roaring success at the end. You know, today some of those people that actually then were visitors today are becoming pastors, you know, in Shofar, because they connected with people. Vidius, I don't know if you guys know Vidius. They were people that for that Sunday afternoon just came for the picnic. And they connected, and people shared with them the heart of Shofar. They immediately responded. And they were 6 months in the church, and they could not find their feet. But because the event was intentional, they prayed about it beforehand. They made sure that they asked God to lead them. Actually, they could get a commitment from people to be part of the vision. Now, I want to say to you guys, every opportunity that we have is like the last opportunity. And I've done this so many times in my life. I can tell you, I remember me and Milani and Franschuk, we were still youth pastors there in 1999-2000. And I remember one evening, I said to the small group, "Listen, guys, bring your passports with." Immediately, there was an expectation in their hearts. But we've prayed for beforehand. We've asked God to show us what we should talk about. They came there, and all of them, you know, asked, "Why? Why do we need to bring our passports with?" So while having the conversation, I said to them, "Let's talk about identity tonight." So I read to them the first page of, you know, just the South African passport, which actually the old ones spoke about the president of the country saying, with this, whoever receives this person receives them in the name of our country. And if you receive them, know that we are behind them and we see them as a viable person or whatever. So the amazing thing about this is, you know, that we had the conversation about identity, about whose you are, you know, about the fact that you, if you have the backing of a country, of a president, it means that you have an identity within that country that you can bargain on. And that evening, the people that were in that small group still today serve God passionately. And I know that many of the things that happened that evening were impacting their lives because of something that we did in preparing prayerfully for their coming. Now, I can tell you of many such events in our lives that we prepared for, trusted God for, and it transformed people's lives because God was in it. And so I want to say to you, whenever we do an event, if it's a small group on a Wednesday, and if it's an encounter, don't think that it's just another encounter. The biggest problem in the church today is the fact that we think that we fall in a routine of every time having courses, and we think courses are going to change people's lives. Every encounter one must be a different encounter one from the previous one. Guess why? Because God has different people that He's ministering to, and He's got a different plan every time that He's speaking into those people's lives. If you are not prepared to partner with God and to walk the road, you know, of obedience in such a way that God can manifest Himself, we are missing the point. And that's why, you know, we want you to take ownership, because the pastors can't think about all the things that must happen on a weekly basis. Okay, we can't plan in such a way that we always are focused on the next encounter, the next preaching opportunity, the next. It's impossible. Capacity-wise, it's not possible. And you taking ownership means that you are the go-to person for that ministry. Ownership means that there's a responsibility that goes with it. And I want to say it this morning because I don't want you to take this lightly. You must count the cost before you partner with us in these ministries, because you will have to trust God to go and change lives. You must go and trust God to whatever you plan for that ministry. must transform people's lives. Are you with me this morning? I don't want to know what Mel and Safiso is doing in the worship ministry at this stage. As long as I can see the fruit on a Sunday, they must take ownership because God is going to ask them, what is happening? Why are people not connecting? It's not going to ask the pastor. Okay, now I want to say to you, yes, we are, you know, responsible for the for all the ministries as pastors, and God will keep us accountable to that. But guess why? What? If we are not going to believe in with delegated authority comes the necessary mobilization to leave you and to run with that vision, we are also missing the point. So we want to empower you to actually fulfill that function in the church so that you can trust God to do whatever is necessary for that ministry. So please don't fall in the culture where we must run to the pastor all the time. Okay? If the pastor is concerned, he will come to you. But you will have to go and ask God, what is the vision that he wants for this ministry? Are you with me, guys? This is an important one because we are talking about leadership development now and leadership responsibility. And I want to ask you this morning, you know, if we trust people, if we entrust unto people ministries, that we also trust them to fulfill that ministry. Now, I want to say to you, I will not go to one of the worship leaders in the worship team without talking to Safiso and Mel about them. I have the right to have my say as a pastor in that ministry as long as I have a conversation with them. Because after all, they are responsible for the worship ministry. Are you with me? And I want you, and for the children's church or whatever ministry is in the church, you're asking me difficult questions, and I want to say to you guys, please take responsibility. I've heard so many questions in this church, and I don't want to say that, you know, we're getting it wrong. We are in the initial stages where we don't want to miss the point. But please take ownership so that God can fulfill his plan for that ministry in the time that we are in. Is that all right? Okay. So, guys, we do it prayerfully. But the Christ encounter, to get back to that, is so important because that is the place where you go and sit down with people in an event and you brainstorm together with them and ask God to show you why this event is happening. Now, I want to just say, with that Christ encounter, if you are the only one that's praying for this ministry, you're missing the point. Ooh, are you still awake? Okay, I know it's starting, yeah? If you are the only person that's praying for this ministry, you're missing the point. Because you need to, in this phase of any planning of ministry, you need to take people into your trust that has a burden for this ministry and pray together with them. Because when God births, you know, the purpose of an event or his heart for this event, and you are the only one listening and you are running with that vision, other people will miss out on what God wants to do in this ministry. So I see this Christ encounter part as the most important part of any planning of ministry or event. It's a place where all of us collectively go and ask God, I don't know. I want to say to you, I don't know. As a pastor, I know where God is taking us, you know, as a church prophetically. But I can tell you for your ministry, you must align to that and go and ask God yourself what that means for that ministry. And you make sure that you are aligned, but you make sure that you also spend time with God to go and ask him why and why what you are doing is necessary. Because if not, your heart is also not going to be in it. Okay, so this is the perfect time, guys, whenever you start to do ministry, don't go and ask God what the ministry should be about and what. Many times I hear that from God, and then I deliberately go and sit down with the rest of the pastors, and I say to them, let's pray. Let's just ask God why we are doing this event, or why do we are. And I ask their opinions. I say, just tell me where you are with God now. And it's beautiful how God prepares all of our hearts together. Because after the conversations with them, I can tell you, we already have unity among us because all of us can hear from God. And I rather keep quiet as a leader because I want to hear what they are saying. I want to make sure that they hear the same thing from God. Because if that is the case, I know that we will be running together and we're going to see mighty things happen. Okay, so I want to just say, make sure that the people that are involved in your ministry, that you guys pray together and trust God to birth it in your hearts together, so that you can share that dream together. Okay, then the next one is just the one of the preparation. The space encounter. Now, you know, the events organizers like Margot, she unfortunately had to go. They will tell you, you know, that is, they would say that is the most important part. You know, if God said we, I remember we had an event once where we spoke about being fisher of men. When you got into the church, there was fishing nets and a boat, and you know the hospitality team had it all figured out. It was amazing because when the people came into church, immediately there was an expectation: God is going to speak to us about something. And I want to just say, guys, the way in which you prepare for people to come to your event will show how much you love them. I hope that when you got in this morning and you got the donuts and the coffee and the stuff, that you could see that there was a lot of effort being put in this event to make sure that you feel at home. Because that is the truth. Now, I'm not saying that to, you know, to boast about the pastor's effort. I'm telling you, we value you. And we hope that you are seeing that through that which we are doing in small gestures toward an event like this. We've sent out a few emails this week. We wanted to make sure that you guys know that we are preparing well for your coming. Because we value you as a person and what God is doing in your life. Now, you know what? When I go, and I've been in church circles, I've been all over the place through the years. You know, I've visited every pastor's house, every elder's house, almost in Shofar. The most amazing thing is when you get to a church and they prepared for your coming. When there's at, you know, the place that you are going to stay over at the house, there's a little chocolate on your bed, there's your favorite magazine that they found out about before you come to their venue. They already found out what you love. They've now Sally and David is probably some of the best people in this you know, this regard. They just spoil you to bits. Okay, always coming to them is just amazing. So they just naturally get it right. I don't get it naturally right. I must plan for it. My wife is amazing with this. Okay, she can prepare for people. She can get the gifts right. But for me, I must actually plan it. I must make sure that I put an effort in preparing well for people. Not because I don't love people, but because I am more focused, you know, on what are we going to do and what is the goals that we get to. But I must deliberately make myself come to a standstill so that I make this a priority, because it matters for the person that you are receiving. So if I talk about the preparation part, I want to say to you guys, the way in which we prepare for people being involved, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the people coming to the event that you're going to organize. I'm talking about the volunteers that will be part of your ministry as well. The way in which you prepare for them will create an expectation and an openness to receive. Okay. So in the preparation part, I want to say, guys, when it gets to ministry, make sure that you do this well in advance. An event, for instance, if you don't at least 3 months before the event start to plan that event, you are in trouble, because you can't get to these detailed things if you do it, you know, at the last minute. Okay, the things that's not going to happen is the things I'm talking about now. The Christ encounter part, because if you don't pray, you're not going to hear the voice of God. You're not going to understand what God wants to do in that event or ministry. And you will not have time to actually prepare so that your space encounter is well, is good. Okay? And I love it when people are ready. It's strange when you get to certain churches. I've seen it over the years, how certain people are prepared for your coming because they've prayed. They've been prayed up and they are actually in line with what God is busy doing. And they have an expectation for what they're going to receive from you. If you are just an addition, just a person coming, you know, on a Sunday, and you see it in that church because the people are not prepared for your coming and they don't receive from you because the pastor never even thought of, you know, just put a little photo up in the week, you know, on Facebook or whatever to prepare the people for the coming. Okay? The reason why we do it is not so that the pastors look so mighty and amazing. It's to prepare the hearts of the people for what is going to be ministered on the Sunday. Are you with me? And every pastor, every person ministering, you know, brings a certain deposit that they deposit into people. So what I want to say to you, guys, in preparing, getting the space encounter ready, we make sure that people's hearts are more open to what God wants to minister in their lives. Okay, when they get to the event, they already know what to expect. They already did it prayerfully. They already made sure that their minds are focused. Many times, people come to events and they're not ready to receive. So you struggle for an hour to just get them into the motion of what's happening here. And we don't, we, especially in London, we can't afford that. Okay, we must make sure that people are prepared before they come, so that we can immediately, when we get together, start to operate in what God wants to do. Are you with me? Just quickly stand up and just wave and say, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good. Amen. Now you can sit. okay, guys. This is important stuff. I really want you to get this right in your ministries. Rather do less, because less is more. Okay. Rather do less, but when you do something, you're better prepared. Okay, are you with me?
Sorry, Hercules. I just wanted you just to go back over that point about people need to be prepared when they come in. Are you talking about the people who you're going to be ministering to? Or you as a minister as such?
Yeah, both. You're talking about the volunteers, that's part of the ministry as well.
No, I'm talking about the people who are actually going to be coming to the event.
Yeah, I'm talking about the people that's coming to the event.
Okay.
So which means that, you know, the more you can prepare them before and even make sure that they already have a teaser of what they... So you can, this year... Even at Planted, we try to beforehand already give you some clues on what we are going to do at Planted. Remember the shoes? I don't know if some of you would remember. Ian and Margot did an amazing campaign. The shoes actually changed as we went along. I don't know if you've even realized that. But the emails that we've sent out weeks and months beforehand, the one was formal, the one was more informal. So there's a lot of thinking into a campaign like this. You didn't even know that, thinking about it now. But I can tell you, by the time you got to the venue, you at least had an idea of what we are going to do. So you've been prepared. There was an expectation. And that's why we could have this year an amazing event where people were focused. People were so focused that every session I just said to God, you know, I've not been in an event where, you know, every session is just more of you, you know. So I want to say to you, the more you prepare people and, you know, put those teasers out beforehand, you allow people to come into what God wants to do in their lives. But if it's a last minute thing, you will not be able to do that. Okay, can we just agree on that? So does that answer your question?
Yes, to an extent. I think what's kind of knocking around the back of my mind is in terms of who you're wanting to reach. So, for example, the people who are prostitutes, drug addicts, whatever else. I mean, how do you get people like that who are completely, totally, utterly broken to commit to something? I know it's a tricky one, and it's probably something I need to go away and wrestle through and pray through. But is there anything that you could suggest?
Okay, so you go to answer now. I just want to say, guys, none of us are prepared. None of us are prepared for what God is sending us now. I've seen it the last few weeks. I've seen it the last few months. There is a reason why we are in such a poor place. Okay? This place is a symbol of what God is going to send us the next few months. Okay? I don't have the answers. But what I can tell you, if these people feel like we value them and we don't judge them when we get up the stairs because they are standing smoking outside, and we'll have to make a few shifts ourselves. Okay? I've had the conversation on this side a lot with the people. I said, listen, how are we going to get into Zacchaeus' house? You know, because we're not at this stage. Don't fool ourselves in thinking we are. We must get into Zacchaeus' life, and it means that we will have to make a few adjustments. But that is exactly why I'm saying, guys, are we prepared in these ministries that we are presenting here today to think about these questions? How are we going to, you know, as a worship ministry, how are we going to reach people that are not in the church? I'm not talking about having a holy camole on a Sunday. I'm talking about how are we going to reach the streets? Are we going to be willing to actually take our guitars and go and stand on the corner of a street and just worship God for who He is? Never mind about what people think about us and all those things. Are we willing to take these steps? So I'm as challenged as you are, but I can see it. I can see God is challenging us, very, very definitely in that area. So I'm excited about it because I'm praying a lot into this. I'm trusting God to show us what desperate means in London, because it looks a lot different than in Africa or Asia or, you know, the Middle East. It looks a lot different, but I can tell you there's more desperate people in this nation than there is in Africa. Can I make that statement again? I've seen the weirdest. I've seen the most, you know, desperate people in this country, more than I've ever seen in the most poorest of countries. The people of Malawi are more happy than people living in London. When I walk around in Malawi, at least there's peace. The people love one another. There's not a sense of loneliness. Everyone has family. There's so many lonely people in this nation. And I'm telling you, God wants to give it to us. He's spoken a lot about it to me, and I know to the rest of the pastoral team. He wants to give it to us. He's ready to do it. If we can just get onto His page. And certainly, our events are not ready for them yet. Okay, so we'll have to make a few changes. I still, and I'm not fighting with you guys, please. You are the faithful ones. I don't want to even... the kind of commitment that I've seen in this church is beyond even, what I've thought of before coming. But I want to say to you, we must get things right. Like, why are people still, you know, when they are visitors, not feeling, you know, that they are part of the rest of the family? It is questions that we will have to ask one another. You know, because we'll have to get our minds, and it's not deliberate, but we'll have to make a few changes. You know, when the weird and wonderful people come into the church, how will we make sure that we don't do the cliquish thing on a Sunday and all just, be together? I've seen it at the camp at Planted. It took a long time for us all to get onto the same page where we realized, okay, there's a few unsaved people here among us. We didn't even know it. It's not just a holiday. And when I saw us getting focused, you know, people actually, like that Spanish girl that came with Charlotte and Spanish, eh? It is just amazing to see what God can do through us if we just focus. And I can tell you, it's not deliberate, but we'll have to get our minds around it. Okay, and we'll have to have these conversations more often, so that we can embrace the culture and the people. There's a reason why we're not growing. Okay, can I just say that again? There's a reason why we are not growing. Now, one of those is God wants us to first come to Him. That's why He spoke to us about my cup running over. Okay? He wants us to come to Him first. But I can tell you, we must wrestle through these things. And we must not be satisfied until God gives us the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you, God is speaking to me a lot about, and it's not even things that we are doing wrong. I want the keys. I want to trust God. God, You said this church is going to grow beyond what we ever imagined. You said You're going to send leaders from this church that's going to plant churches all over the world, and not just be church planters. They're going to plant churches themselves. So how is that going to happen? Birth it in my heart. I'm praying that through day and night. I'm asking God these questions, and I'm not satisfied until God gives it to me. Okay, so I want you to do the same, guys. Let's trust Him to have the kind of preparation where people can come. Then reception, the human factor is just, guys, people are coming, and we don't need an amazing event that operationally goes well. You need to value the people. People always come before an event and operations. That's why I hug you. I do it deliberately. You'll see, since I've come here, I make sure to make you stop. Have you seen that? I ask you to stand up while sitting when I get into the reception area. And I give you a hug. There's a reason for that. I'm busy establishing a culture. Are you with me? I want you to get onto the same page. We are family. I'm sending out a signal. I'm going to stop this bus until we get it right. Okay? We are here for people. We're not here so that we have great events and everything runs smooth. Okay? Even if we must stop our agenda, stop our church services, and get these formalities out of the way so that we can get into people's lives, we will do it. Okay? But give a person a hug. Okay, when you're in the church family, because you love them. Okay, and I want you to again get it right in terms of preparation part. We need to present that which we want people to believe and the cultures that they need to embrace. We need to communicate that, okay, better in such a way that they will be able to feel welcome, that they feel we value them. And that's the fourth one, that we actually embrace them as a person. Now, every event, guys, you must think, how will that person individually know that it's not, they're just not another number, okay? But they've actually came because you value them as a person. Are you with me? Which means that you and I need to slow down. And sometimes before we have events, think about personalized ways to let people feel special. Now, for me, the best way that I can, because I'm not that creative, my wife would know the little flowers and the little cards and the stuff that's necessary to let people feel welcome. So I know the women's events always get it right. They have a scripture for every person. They prayed beforehand. So every person feel valued, not because they were a registrant, participant. Okay. But because, you know, people prayed for them beforehand and they feel valued individually. So with the women's events, you'll see people, every woman get a little scripture that is unique to that person. When you have your birthday during the Awaken conferences, they make sure that you stand up. You know, there's something special going on, and they people realize, okay, so you thought of me. You know, I'm not just one of the thousand that came to the event. You actually thought of me. You prayed for me beforehand. You gave me a scripture, and God is just changing my life. So what I want to say to you guys, how I get it right, you know, I pray for people. I make sure that I pray for each one of you. And then the next time that I get to you, I actually say, I feel God is saying this about your life. It helps me to get focused on the person, the individual. That's the way that God works with me. But I can tell you, for you, make sure that when you have people involved in your ministry, that you think of ways how you're going to speak to the individual rather than just having a big event. Okay. And then the last one is the presentation, the heart encounter. What are people taking out of your event? What are people taking home? What is even the follow-up after the event to make sure that whatever is discussed will be taken back home? Okay. So I've seen many efforts like this. You know, I know the planted camp in Pretoria, for instance. They gave everyone a little plant, you know, to take home. And they said, listen, you make sure that that little plant grows. It don't die, okay? And as long as it keeps being alive, it's going to remind you to pray, okay? So I haven't seen a lot still alive to this day. But what I can tell you, the gesture for me was so beautiful, is just the idea of, let's take whatever we discussed here into our homes, okay? So that we are reminded about... David is good with these things. You know, I will remember these lists for a long time now. He always has these nice acronyms, or no, not acronyms. That he uses for his teachings, and it's strange how it just sticks. But it's amazing stuff that you take afterwards. You must, before you have the event, think about how you're going to actually lead people to action. Are you with me? Because whatever you celebrate is what you're going to enforce, or see going to action. Yeah, repeat it. Okay. So guys, it's so important that you beforehand think about what is the next action. If I do encounter one, what is the next action after encounter one? Will I already go and talk to a small group leader to connect with this person? Will I go with the person to encounter two? Are you with me? Mm-hmm. But you must think about this, because there's an action after your event that needs to be established. Because if your event, you know, is part of this process that David spoke about, I can tell you it's just a part. It's not the only part. So we sometimes in our ministries think that our part is the only part. If you talk to an intercessor, they will say to you, we don't pray enough. If you talk to an evangelist, they will always say, no, you know, we don't have an outward focus. The pastors will always say, you know, people are getting hurt in this church and they are leaving. It's very bad. So the picture that we always display from our side is where our gifting comes from, okay? And I can tell you, being involved in a ministry, you always bring the baggage of your own gifting with you as well. Because you only think about your gifting and how it fits into people's lives. But you will have to think beyond. How will you make sure that the person understands the heart of taking this to the next level? Okay? And that this process in their lives will go on. You will have to think about it beforehand. Because if not, you know, you're going to miss the point. So I've already said to you, and I've created an expectation that we will be coming around to each one of you out of a pastoral oversight side, so that we can follow up on what is happening today. I've already created that expectation because I thought of it beforehand. Are you with me? That's the next step. If you want to know what's the next step, that's the next step. Okay. So, guys, make sure that we actually get to a point where we can get these things in our events, in our planning of our ministries. Where's the time now? Okay. I'm going to quickly run through this because after lunch, no, let's actually do it now. We've got 8 minutes left. This is going to be a quick one. Don't run around now for different ministries. Relax. Most of you don't even know what you've signed up for, so relax. You just have potential. That's good. Just get together with two or three people. No, let's make it three people in a group. No, let's make it four people in a group so that we can get the time sorted. Four people in a group. You're going to plan the next encounter two according to the principles that I've shared now. And after lunch, you're going to present them to the group. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. Four people in a group. Let's talk about these principles, and after lunch, you're going to present them to us. Great. Enjoy. Make sure that you're part of a group.